taking the over or under? What about the favorite or the underdog? There's a lot to break down for your sports betting pleasure. This is The Money Line with your hosts, Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe, powered by TwinSpires Sportsbook on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Welcome into The Money Line on this Friday evening, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, joined by Elijah Campbell.
It's your boy.
It's Elijah Campbell because Chase McCabe is on vacation. I was on vacation last week. The running joke with this show is that it's co-hosted by Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe, and most times Elijah Campbell, because most times either me or Chase are out for some reason. So always good to have you chip in and fill in, Elijah.
Yeah.
I know you you enjoy dabbling on all sorts of things in the world of sports. And we're going to start with the NBA Finals, because the NBA Finals through two games, the Suns have looked pretty darn good. They win last night by 10 points after Giannis Antetokounmpo scores 42 points, gets 12 rebounds. He's doing this on a hyperextended knee. Who knows how much longer he can really go at this pace, you know, with you know, playing at a pretty high level compared to what I thought it would be. And they're still down 0-2.
Yeah, this guy's knee was at an obtuse angle like a couple weeks ago, and this guy is just now coming up, putting up 42 points, 12 rebounds, and blocking three shots. Not just like three shots that you barely block with your fingertips. This guy is chasing people down. He is making these incredible plays at the end of the shot clock and getting these insane highlight reel blocks when he had an injury that many of us would not even try to walk on our knees after that. Like, that was a gross-looking injury, and he's picked up where he left off in his two-time MVP form.
And through two games, I wouldn't say you're a better basketball mind than me. I enjoy the NBA, especially this time of year, conference finals when it's drama and theater and
at its peak.
Right. I don't think Milwaukee's played all that poorly in the first two games. It's almost like they don't have answers for the Suns when the Suns get hot.
Yeah, that's a fair point, and that's a really good observation too, because the Bucks defensively, and that's the biggest thing, defensively they did kind of get torched in game one through the first three quarters, where the Suns got everything they wanted in the paint. DeAndre Ayton specifically looked like David Robinson for three quarters, going for 22 points and 19 rebounds. And then the fourth quarter, you saw the Bucks make an adjustment where they had to play some small ball with Giannis at the five and play a little smaller everywhere else. And that adjustment did help get them back into the game. I think they cut it down to maybe 6 or 7 points in the fourth quarter in game one after being down by about 20. So you saw that adjustment work. And then in game two, they were like, okay, we're going to take away the paint from Phoenix, and we're going to make them beat us from the outside. Specifically, Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, whoever's in the game as the role players. Like, we're not going to let Chris Paul just find where Brooke Lopez is, point out a screen, and have your point guard dance with the center and make him look foolish and end up scoring a ton of points mid-range in the paint. They weren't going to let him do that this time. They funneled everything into Brooke Lopez and Giannis and made them shoot really tough contested twos. And the only part of the floor where the Suns did not shoot well was around the rim in the restricted area. They made the Suns beat them from the outside. And when you shoot 50% from three in the first two games, that's not going to help out the strategy that you're employing right now. And I'm sure the Bucks didn't account for Mikal Bridges going for 21 points and playing what is the game of his NBA career so far. It's that series for the Bucks too. There's a couple of possessions late in the game too where Middleton played fantastic defense, or Drew Holiday or PJ Tucker played fantastic defense on Devin Booker, and he's hitting a pull up 25 footer with a hand in his face. There's nothing more you can do.
Right.
You played the best defense you can do, and if guys are just hitting shots like that, it's hard to beat. And here's the crazy thing about it too: the four factors which I like to cite a lot in winning basketball games. Effective field goal shooting, offensive rebound, turnover percentage, and free throw rate. The Bucks won three of the four. You win about 75% of the games if you win three of the four of those. But the only thing they didn't win was effective field goal shooting, where the Suns were at 60% and the Bucks were at 50. 10 percentage points better. That is astronomical, which means the fact the game was even close is a miracle. And just think, if the Bucks get anything out of Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton,
oh my gosh,
this thing's tied at one. Those guys were atrocious.
No doubt. And one of the intriguing things that that I've had a lot of fun watching, not only in the NBA playoffs, but the Stanley Cup playoffs as well, mm-hmm. is how one game can impact the series lines. For instance, this series started at minus 170 for the Suns. And I told you before game one that I wanted to so bad.
It's tempting.
To go all in on the Suns, to win the series. I didn't love the price of minus 170. And there was that looming factor that we had talked about, you know, in the producer's room of if Giannis comes back for game one, then the Bucks might have a chance in this series. So that conversation scared me off putting a lot on Phoenix. I ended up not putting anything on Phoenix at all. So now it's at minus 480. I mean, the odds
dramatic change.
Will dramatically go back towards the Bucks if they can just win one game. Then it's so funny how these lines can drift back and forth. So if you are sold that the Suns are going to win this series, the NBA Finals, minus 480 is not good value.
Oh, horrific. Yeah.
So then you have to contemplate, do you go with the series spread, which -1.5 for the Suns is at minus 200 now, which is much better value. And basically you're banking on the series to end in six games or less with Phoenix coming out on top, which feels pretty likely at
still
this point.
Very likely.
But Milwaukee did trail Brooklyn 2-0. And they came back and won that series in seven. So if you're a believer in the Bucks, plus 380.
That's fantastic value. I love
fantastic value when they haven't played all that bad in the first two games like we've detailed. And if the Suns run into a couple of cold shooting nights, the Bucks might find themselves right back in this series.
And because here's the biggest thing, too, about that. That's why I love Milwaukee at that price right there. I know they're down 2-0. And I love how you mentioned in Brooklyn, they were down 2-0 as well and lost game two by almost 50 points. The Bucks have been fantastic at adjusting in this series. If you think about it, they lost game one to Atlanta at home in the Eastern Conference Finals, made some adjustments, and made it a whole lot harder for Atlanta to score. Granted, Trae Young getting hurt helps a lot too, but the only other game that they lost was the game that Giannis also got hurt. So the way the Bucks have made adjustments throughout the entire series in these playoffs should give you a little more encouragement that are at least going to make it close. I wouldn't touch Phoenix winning the whole thing, or just like that minus, what, 470 that you alluded to?
Minus 480.
480.
I mean, $48 to win 10.
That's nothing. Yeah, I wouldn't touch that.
That's not worth the risk if something were to happen to one of the top Suns players, like it happened with Brooklyn when once Kyrie Irving went down
series
in game four of
changed.
That. Yeah, in game four of that series, it was the pendulum swung big time to Milwaukee.
And the Bucks are 7-1 at home in these playoffs. They're a really good home team. They're going to shoot a lot better at home. Just NBA teams do when they're at home. Home bad shooting nights are rare. Just look what Phoenix did last night. When you're at home, you're a little more comfortable. Most of those shots are going to go in. Phoenix will be more prone, not just because they're going to be on the road, but because what comes up must eventually come back down. And they're shooting so astronomically like efficient that it can't happen for a lot longer. Now, granted, this is a great offense. They're one of the best shooting teams in the NBA, so they can shoot similar to it. I just don't expect them to be shooting 60% effective field goal shooting this entire series. So if there's a team that's going to erase a 2-0 deficit in this kind of setting, it's a team that's great defensively and is going to be able to maybe accelerate that negative regression towards the other team, which leads me to believe that the Bucks' value right now, what it is fantastic return, because them coming back and winning the series is very, very possible. I have not buried them just yet.
Yeah, so the Suns winning game two, 118 to 108 last night. Game three is Sunday night, coverage starting at 6 o'clock. All the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I think a lot of this series is going to come down to Sunday night. If the Suns win, it's over in four or five.
Easily.
If the Bucks win and they get some confidence, then this thing could still go six or seven. It could.
Very much so.
But the Suns are really hot, pun intended.
that is an understatement. I mean, you're shooting 50% from three in the first two games of the series. You're going to beat a lot of teams, especially when you shoot a lot of them. And just to give you a reference of of how efficient that is. They didn't make a single two-point basket until the last minute of the first quarter last night. And we're still in the game because they hit five threes, because Mikal Bridges was getting open looks, because when you're taking away something that usually means defensively, you're forcing the other team to shoot something else. And they gave up the three-pointers from guys like Crowder and Bridges, and those guys stepped up and made the Bucks pay for it. And they shot the lights out last night. And that explains how you can shoot so poorly from within 5 feet of the basket and still beat a team by double digits.
This is the Money Line, powered by Twin Spires Sportsbook. Ryan Porth, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday evening. Speaking of Twin Spires, right now on the Twin Spires app, now this is a little bit riskier business with betting on the Suns. If you are a believer in the Suns to win this series in, say, five games, you can get that at plus 230. But you have to get it perfectly correct.
On five.
Yeah. Suns to win the series 4-1, plus 230. A sweep is plus 400.
Already halfway there.
They're giving that better odds than, say, Suns in six, which is plus 450.
Ooh. Suns in six sounds really enticing. That is some great value. Plus 450? I'd have to hop on that. That sounds pretty good.
Suns in four, which would be a pretty big thing on social media with with the fight that went down with the Suns fan.
That guy will get the key to the city if that happens.
Ironically, is plus 400. I didn't catch that the first time I said that. Mm. All right, so that's some chatter on the NBA Finals. We're going to be featuring the NBA Finals throughout the show. It will be featured in Cash or Trash and later on in the program as well. Now, I do want to spend a minute on the Stanley Cup final, the Tampa Bay Lightning taking home the Stanley Cup in back-to-back seasons. Congratulations to the city of Tampa Bay. They haven't done anything sports-wise in the last year, so I really felt bad for them.
Fans got bored.
Yeah, I felt bad for them going into the series.
Haven't won a title in 5 months.
Yeah, Tampa Bay now. So the Tampa Bay Lightning going back-to-back, and Game 5 on Wednesday night was very interesting, because going into that game, almost 90% of the public money was over 5 for that game.
Insane.
And I couldn't believe that, really, because Tampa Bay, first of all, Vasilevsky has shut out now. He has shut out the opponent in 5 straight series closing games, dating back to the Stanley Cup final last year. So Dallas, then Florida, then Carolina, then the Islanders, and now Montreal. He has shut them out like 15-20% of the league. He has shut out in consecutive fashion. And
that's insane.
I just could not believe that 90% of the money was going to over five. So I went the opposite direction.
Smart man.
Like,
and Carey Price is no slouch either. He's playing the season on the line. That guy has stood on his head all postseason long.
He's been great in elimination games all postseason long. So I was floored by that. Also, I had different strategies with Game 5 because I had put multiple Lightning Cup winning bets in throughout the playoffs.
Okay, planting seeds.
In the middle of the Carolina series, it was looking like they were starting to play that lockdown defensive game that is so hard to beat when they're playing that. And then after they beat the Islanders, and then after they won game one against Montreal. So I already had all those tickets in play.
Nice.
So I decided to get creative with Game 5 because I felt like I felt really strong that they were going to win. I felt strong that they were going to cover the 1.5. That didn't pan out. Wish one of those, like when Ryan McDonagh with 20 seconds left on the clock sat on the puck behind the net, I just died inside. Because the entire third period, I'm just banking on that empty net goal.
Getting that empty netter, yep.
Especially after Andre Palat missed a wide open net and shot it right into the pads of Carey Price. Anyway, so I didn't win that, but I countered that with regulation win. for Tampa.
Okay.
So those two bets essentially X'd out.
Cancel each other.
Because I won the regulation bet. Here's where the live betting, Chase and I have talked about this. We talked about this a lot during the NCAA tournament, is when you just have a gut feeling about something.
Mm-hmm.
And this was basically to hedge the -1.5. The live next goal in the third period, about midway through, you could go next goal Tampa, you could go next goal Montreal, or no goal at all. So to hedge it, and that they would sit on the 1-0 lead, and that would be the final, I hit no goal at +400.
+400, yeah. Okay. Fantastic
so
value.
I say all this as an example that there is great value live betting.
Yep.
Like live betting, it can be dangerous.
Very much
but
so.
But there were certain games in the NCAA tournament where what you were watching did not match what the computer was generating on the sports books. Like the Baylor-Gonzaga game, the national title, when Baylor was blowing them out.
Start to finish.
And it did not look like in the first half that Gonzaga was really going to be coming back in that game. Mm-hmm. But all the, I guess you could say, analytics and computers were not reflecting that. It's almost like they were just letting it ride with Gonzaga being a 3 or 4 point dog, you know, in the last 5 minutes of the first half, and Baylor's just crushing them.
Yeah.
So like hammering, just kept hammering Baylor.
Smart.
Against the spread. So all that to say, there is value to betting live. So I was able to benefit.
Yeah.
In game five.
See, that's smart. And there's some benefit to hedging too, because sometimes you make a bet and you see automatically that it is not going to go your way.
Oh, yeah.
And then being able to kind of save a little face there and hoping that result still stands.
Exactly.
Is exact. See, that was same thing. That did the same thing, the opposite effect. Ohio State, Oral Roberts. The NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Oral Roberts kind of got up a little bit, and I was like, oh, Ohio State's going to come back and win this thing. And what I should have done was end up hedging it later when I realized they're hitting everything. Yeah. This might not be, once it gets a little closer to the second half, where it did kind of feel like Oral Roberts was going to pull off a little bit of magic, that maybe I should have hedged a little bit. So it's a good lesson in betting insurance, if you will.
That is correct. The 2022 Stanley Cup odds came out. Colorado's the favorite at +500. I don't like the value there for them. I don't trust them anymore. In the playoffs. Three straight second round exits. That is brutal. Turning into a team where I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. They're getting close
to
that.
You're going to put them in there with Toronto.
On a higher scale, but yes. I mean, Toronto can't win a playoff series to save their lives. Vegas +600. Tampa Bay at +700 to three-peat.
Ooh.
Interesting. Now, here locally, the Nashville Predators are 50-1. On the TwinSpire Sportsbook app. That is sixth in the Central Division.
Baffling to me. That's
only ahead of Chicago and soon-to-be Central Division rival Arizona.
Wow.
And then also at 50-1, the Seattle Kraken. So the Nashville Predators, according to TwinSpire, have the same odds of winning the Stanley Cup in 2022 as the Seattle Kraken.
As an expansion team.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a backhand to the face there. Not a lot of faith, which...
No faith. It's not necessarily surprising with how most of last season went.
Most of it, yeah.
Right. And how this trajectory for the Nashville Predators has not been going in a positive direction in the last few years.
And how the offseason is a little bit in limbo with how some player situations are, and it's been made very clear that the Nashville Predators are open for business, as Elliot Friedman said this morning on Darren Donick and Chase.
So later, when we go back to the future, coming up about 6:40, I will give you a couple of teams that I think have good value for the 2022 Stanley Cup odds, if you want to get them in.
Oh, I love it.
All right, but coming up next, we're going to hit the Euro 2020 final with Italy, England, and get back into the NBA finals with cash or trash. If you know, you know. I'm Ryan Porth. He's Elijah Campbell. This is The Money Line, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in the Money Line, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth alongside Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday evening. I believe Chase and I will be back together next week, but eventually. I know the week after that I'm going to Seattle on a Friday for a wedding. I'm actually going to be in Seattle for the inaugural NHL draft night for the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, wow.
So I will be in the city when the Kraken have their first ever NHL draft pick.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
So Amanda and I are trying to figure out how we could be at the official draft party.
Oh, that would be cool.
Before we go to the Mariners game, because the Mariners game is at 7 o'clock local time. Ooh, but so the jealous. Draft is probably at like 5 o'clock local time.
You can catch a little bit of it.
You could be there, see their first pick, then go to the baseball game.
Yeah, at that beautiful park out in Seattle, too. Never been, but that is one of those aesthetically pleasing ballparks in America.
First row right field.
Ooh, yeah.
We are going to be in prime home run territory, yes. Oakland versus Seattle. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Anyway, it is time for cash or trash. I will lay out this week only three picks that I like. Only three. We usually do five, but we're getting into the part of the sports calendar where it's hard to come up with five that I feel really good about. Hard I don't want to force it. Mm-hmm. So we'll stick to three here. The number one pick in cash or trash. We're going to go to the Euro 2020 final on Sunday afternoon.
Ooh, it'll be a good one.
At Wembley, England versus Italy. I cannot imagine being an English soccer fan or football fan where you have a chance to win your first major soccer tournament title since 1966.
And long time ago.
You can do it at Wembley. Mm. The mecca of soccer in your home country. Mm-hmm. It's going to be electric at Wembley on Sunday. That is a 2 o'clock Central Time kick between Italy and England. And the two sides have combined for 4 goals allowed in this tournament. They've been defensively stingy. Mm-hmm. I think both clubs will be conservative to start this match, which is pretty typical in World Cup finals, Euro finals, what have you. So I'm going with Italy-England halftime result as a draw.
Okay.
Which you can get at almost even odds. So that's what I'm going with as my number one cash or trash pick, banking on it being 0-0, or in the soccer world, 0-0. After 45-plus minutes of play. Elijah, is that bet cash or trash?
That's cash. I mean, you mentioned it too. These championship games, teams have a tendency to really feel each other out too. And you talk about the electricity of what Wembley's going to be like. The nerves in that building are going to be insane because of exactly what you just laid out, the history that is on the line for this English team. And they've played a lot of teams close. They probably shouldn't have played close. I mean, they drew with Scotland earlier in this tournament, in which they probably did a little too much of the feeling out process early in the game. Denmark, they were tied at 1 at halftime in that game, including a goal they gave up off a set piece very early and then an own goal by Denmark to allow them in it. Even though England and Denmark have two completely different rosters, England should have won that in regulation, but they've played down to some of their competition, with the exception of the Ukraine, who had no business being where they were. In the quarterfinal of this tournament, England has played a lot of these teams really close. Italy as well. They've played a lot of really close games, at least played in a few shootouts later in this tournament as well, including that thriller against Spain earlier this week. I think the draw is the most sensible thing to happen here in the first half. And whether it's 0-0 or 1-1, especially with Italy's counterattack, Italy was really playing behind Spain the entire game and used that counterattack to get their only regulation goal in that game. I really like this to be a draw just because of exactly what you laid out.
So halftime result.
Yeah, halftime draw. Yeah.
And if you're out there looking for an outright winner, not in 90 minutes, if you go with the draw no bet or tie no bet, however your favorite sports book words it, Italy is 7-1 in their last 8 meetings against England. They're a slight underdog here.
A lot of good value.
But I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm going to go into the, well, I'll probably end up making a pick one way or the other, but I might lean Italy. This has a little bit of a feel. Remember this, the World Cup's, I think it was the semifinals in Brazil, where Germany just housed them 7-0 in Brazil. Yeah, in Brazil,
7 years ago yesterday.
Was it really
7 whole years ago? Yep.
How'd you know that?
Found it on Twitter yesterday that it was 7 years ago since the 7-1 drubbing in Rio de Janeiro, which might have been the most astonished I've ever been watching a sporting event.
I bet when you saw that on Twitter yesterday, you had no idea you would end up bringing it up on the money line.
Not at all. I just kind of chuckled to myself and said, wow, 7 years flies by.
But here we are.
And here we are.
All right. So that's my number one cash or trash pick of this week. Italy, England, halftime result being a draw, whether that's 0-0, 1-1, or if they just go gangbusters, 2-2.
Please.
Yeah. All right. That's number one. Number two, going back to the NBA Finals. The Bucks are 4-point favorites at home against the Suns in Game 3. 4 points is not a lot of points at home. You mentioned how the Bucks are very good at home this postseason, 7-1. They're 5-6 on the road, so it's been a pretty big difference for the Bucks this postseason. Their average margin of victory on home court this postseason is 14-plus points. There have been home games where they have just spanked the opponent. Not saying that's going to happen in Game 3, but just pointing that out. Also, you brought up the shooting statistics for the Phoenix Suns.
Insane.
They shot 50% from 3 in Game 2. Their entire shooting performance in Game 2 is not sustainable. Mm-mm. It was unbelievable, but it is not sustainable. And their 3-point percentage this postseason is 38%, and they were 50% in Game 3. So, I am banking on the law of averages coming back to earth a little bit on the Phoenix Suns, at least for one night when Milwaukee hosting their first NBA Finals game since who knows how long.
1974.
You knew. And I'm taking the Bucks. -4 in Game 3 against the Suns. Cash or trash?
I'm going to cash it. And it's not the only hesitancy is going to be the spread because – earlier in games, when especially coming after a loss on the road, the Brooklyn Nets series is the perfect one to look at. Game 3 of that, the Bucks came out hot. I mean, they were up 15, 20 points in the first quarter and then gave that up in the second, ended up being a thrilling game, won in the 80s, and they ended up winning that game and then blowing them out in Game 4. It's going to be hard to imagine the Suns losing by a lot. I know they have the average margin of victory of 14 points, which is pretty significant. I know the Bucks are going to win. The only thing is how much by. I think they'll get some garbage time free throws at the end to be able to secure it. I do feel really confident, though, that the Bucks will at least win this game. So the money line is definitely a sure thing for me personally. But I think I would take the points as well, just because of those late game free throws. Garbage time can be your friend, especially in this scenario.
The money line right now, the show name.
That's right.
The money line,
listen to.
Powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. The money line on the TwinSpire Sportsbook for the Milwaukee Bucks is -177.
That's not bad either.
So you like that value?
I like that too. I like them both. I'd cash both.
All right, cool. Number three, cash or trash pick for the NBA Finals. I'm taking a step back and looking at the series as a whole. We've done many shows in these playoffs where I'm addicted to these series spreads because that's where I feel like the true value is. Mm-hmm. I mentioned last segment how to win the NBA Finals, Phoenix is at -480. Don't know if I'm willing to put a lot on that line. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't get good value there if the Suns – if you're trying to win $20, you're having to put – $96 on it.
That's a hefty.
I mean, that's not worth the risk. What is worth the risk, in my mind, is going Suns -1.5 in the series spread. Mm-hmm. It is -200, so the value isn't phenomenal. But you're basically banking on the Suns winning this series in 6 games or less. And while I think Milwaukee has played better than what the results showed in games 1 and 2, I still feel like the Suns are the better team. And if they can steal one in Milwaukee, it's going to make it really tough for the Bucks to end up winning this series.
Very much so.
So, Suns -1.5 series spread against the Bucks here in the NBA Finals. Cash or trash?
This is the toughest one. This is one that I have not, you sent this to me earlier today, and I've kind of sat on it for a while, and I really haven't made my decision until right now, and I'm going to trash it. I have a feeling this thing just goes seven, because the Bucks are a completely different team at home. But after these first two games, the Suns have played like the better team and the smarter team as well. Don't know if you saw the sequence at the very end of the first half last night, about 23 seconds, and the Suns made about seven passes around the perimeter, getting the Bucks out of position, which eventually led to a DeAndre Ayton and one layup. And that might have been the best exhibition of ball movement I've seen in an NBA Finals game since the 2016 Warriors. That's pretty high praise. That was beautiful basketball. And they're on one of those streaks right now where they are playing like the best basketball team on the planet. So the -1.5 is enticing, because all it's going to take for me to change my mind is for them to steal one in Milwaukee, especially if they win game three in Milwaukee. Then I think there's no way in hell the Bucks are able to push this to seven.
Right.
But I still think these two teams are so evenly matched that it's just hard for me to imagine it going Suns in five. Suns in six is completely plausible, because I think we're going to get some really close games down the stretch. We've had pretty close games these first two until the very end. I think the Bucks made a late push in game one. They made a late push in game two, and it really was closer than what the score indicates. In my opinion, that second quarter really is what was the separator between these teams. They're very close on paper. They're very close on the court as well. I just feel like this is one that's going to go the distance. And maybe it's some hopeful thinking, but that's probably the closest one that we've had yet. In terms of cash or trash, that one, I had to think about that one. That's tough.
Here's the main reason why I'm confident in Suns -1.5 in the series, is that I do not trust Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday to all click at once.
It's been hard.
Which it feels like for them to truly get back in the series and force game seven, that's going to happen for like two games in a row.
I have to get it from at least Middleton or Holiday. They both can't play like they did last night and expect to come out.
Giannis was fine in game one. I mean, he wasn't game two level. Middleton was good in game one.
Yeah, Middleton can't get outscored by Pat Connaughton.
No.
That can't happen. And that's exactly what happened last night.
If you're remotely a star in the NBA, you should not be outscored by Pat Connaughton.
Absolutely. I mean, he couldn't be trusted last night. Neither of those guys could. 5-for-16 from the field for Middleton. 7-for-21 from the field for Drew Holiday. And if my MTSU math taught me anything, that is 12-for-37. I don't know the percentage of that right now, but I can tell you it's not good.
Well, it's less than 33%, because 12-for-36 is 33%.
There you go.
So 12-for-30, well, Franklin High School. 12-for-37 is 32.4%.
And that's from the field. That's not for three. That's from the field.
Not
from
three,
it's even worse. 1-for-6 and 1-for-3. 2-for-9.
All right. So you cashed Italy, England, halftime result being a draw.
Mm-hmm.
You cashed Bucks -4 in game three. And then you trashed Suns -1.5 in the series against the Bucks.
Please, basketball gods, give me seven. Give me seven.
All right. We will see this weekend and at the conclusion of the finals how those three cash or trash picks pan out. Coming up next, we have a lot to get to. We have some parlays, we have some futures, we have some future parlays, and we have some locks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
A lot going on.
And we have a lot to get to on the other side. He's Elijah Campbell. I'm Ryan Porth. That's all coming up next on The Moneyline, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the Money Line, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. They are my TwinSpire Sportsbook. Ryan Porth here with you on a Friday night, joined by Elijah Campbell for this edition of the Money Line. Chase McCabe will be back next week. One of the rare shows that we actually get to host together.
Been a while.
We have a lot to get to in this segment. Like I teased before, we have parlays, we have futures. I know I have a future parlay, and our lock of the week. And I'm very curious to get your reaction to my lock of the week, which is NBA Finals related.
Ah, okay. This is good.
We will get to that at the end of this segment. Game three of the NBA Finals coming up Sunday night between the Suns and the Bucks from Milwaukee, Sunday night, pregame at 6, tip-off shortly after 7 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, let's start with our parlays of the week. You typically like to have a baseball parlay when you sit in here. Are you going with a baseball parlay here, or are you straying to something else?
I'm going West Coast baseball.
Yes!
I am a sucker for the West Coast baseball parlay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go back to the money well of the San Diego Padres, who have done me so well.
Ooh.
You know, we all have those teams that we just love to bet, and that always pans out for you. You have teams on your no-bet list, and then there's teams on your always-bet list. And the San Diego Padres are on my always-bet list.
Okay.
Blake Snell has not been very good this year. However, they're playing the Colorado Rockies, who have also not been very good this year. Give me the Padres. I'm taking the 1.5 as well. Run line, they are 47-43 on the season. And in terms of the run line, the Rockies 14-26 on the road. They're a bad, bad road team. Not Diamondbacks bad, but pretty darn bad. I'll take them. I also feel in the Mariners at home. I'll go straight up on that one. Regular money line, they are 46-39 run line. So it's not a bad option if you want to go that route. I'm not, because I'm going to lay up a little bit. But they're 27-19 at home. The Mariners are a good home team. I like Marco Gonzalez a lot. Alex Cobb on the pretty much on the chopping block for the Angels. A solid pitcher as well. That's going to be our best pitching matchup of the night, regardless. And then I'm going to go back to the state of California. Dodgers, Diamondbacks. It's time to pick on the Diamondbacks. That's another money well that I've been really hitting on a lot this year. They are bad. They're 25-64 bad. Oh, and their road record, it's even worse. They're 10-36 on the road this year. Ooh. They went, 20-some-odd games on the road without winning? And this is a team that didn't win back-to-back games all year, no matter where they were played at, since May 10th and May 11th. Give me the Dodgers. I don't even know who's pitching tonight. Neither
David Price.
David Price is on the mound?
He is.
Even better. The Blackman High School great, David Price. So take the run line. Even if it's 2.5, take the run line. The Dodgers are going to bludgeon them. I'll take those threes because I'm a little OCD with my parlays. I love three-game tickets. But if you want to throw a fourth one in there, the Giants playing the Nationals tonight. The Giants, a surprise team in all of baseball. Take them at home against the Nationals.
The San Francisco Giants for me have been kind of that team that if I like it, I'm going to bet on them.
Yep.
Whether it's the under or whether it's them straight up or run line, because I feel like Vegas hasn't quite adjusted to them yet.
Because there's supposed to be some kind of regression eventually,
it's like,
right?
It's like the Winnipeg Jets in the NHL. The first
Very
three
true.
Months of the season, Vegas did not adjust to the Jets. And I just kept hammering the Jets all season long and won most of the times, unless they were playing the Ottawa Senators. All right. I also have...
the bane of your existence.
Yes. The Baltimore Orioles are approaching Ottawa Senators.
It's always the bad teams with you, too. I don't get that.
I picked the wrong games to bet against the bad teams. All right. My parlay is very similar, actually. Dodgers -2.5 against the Diamondbacks.
Take it.
David Price on the mound for the Dodgers. Like you said, Arizona sucks on the road. I'm going with Minnesota -1.5 at home against Detroit tonight. Kenta Maeda is better at home. Mm-hmm. The Tigers have, I believe his name is Matt Manning, on the mound. He's a rookie that has not pitched well. Give me the Twins -1.5. And I'm going with Alex Cobb over 5.5 strikeouts against the Mariners.
He's been good.
I have no idea who's going to win the game, but Cobb has been solid lately, and the Mariners strike out a lot. So going with Cobb over 5.5 strikeouts, that parlay is +700.
Ooh, +700. The Cobb thing especially, he's pitched pretty well as of late, and I've seen his name float around there out in trade rumors, too. So the Angels are going to really want him to look really good.
The juice is on the under on that 5.5, too, which, you know,
interesting.
Juice is up the parlay. All right, so I've got a parlay that goes back to the future.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Oh, this is great.
So I was perusing the divisional odds in the NFL.
Okay.
And the Chiefs and Bucks are the two heaviest favorites to win their division
naturally. In
2021. I have a hard time believing neither team is going to win. Like the Chiefs in the AFC West, the only team that I could see catching them, even if the Chiefs win like 10 or 11 games, is if Justin Herbert and the new coach for the Chargers, they click, they take off, and the Chargers just have a monster year. Mm-hmm. But you can't trust the Chargers. And then Tampa Bay in the NFC South, sorry, Elijah, with your Saints. Nope. Like
it'll be a weird year.
I just don't trust anyone else in the NFC South. So you could parlay Chiefs AFC West, Bucks NFC South at minus 106.
Still, for futures, those are still pretty.
Minus 106?
Well, yeah.
On the TwinSpire Sportsbook app, my official sportsbook. Minus 106. So I partook this week.
Okay.
That is a parlay that goes back to the future.
I love, and I got one in mind as well, because these are some of my more bolder divisional picks that I feel pretty confident on. That includes the Rams winning a loaded NFC West.
Mm.
I thought the Matt Stafford offseason acquisition was the most impactful the NFL has seen, not named Tom Brady, in the last couple of years. They needed a quarterback that can take him over the top. I thought they had every other piece in play, and they really about messed around and beat the Packers without a feasible quarterback at the helm. So give me the Rams, give me the Browns and Titans to also win their division. I know the Titans are going to be favorites. I'm sure the Browns are as well. But both those teams had two of the best off seasons in the AFC. Give me the Browns, give me the Titans, and give me the Rams to all win their divisions. And I feel pretty comfortable about all three of those.
Interesting. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I mentioned earlier how the 2022 Stanley Cup odds came out.
Mm-hmm.
The top three favorites to win the cup are Colorado at 5-1, Vegas at 6-1, and Tampa Bay at 7-1. I'm going to partake in Tampa Bay +700 to win the Stanley Cup for a third straight year. I just am. Like I trust that team. I trust the management to keep enough of the core together and enough of that entire team together and not, you know, circumvent the salary cap to still put together a team that could win the Stanley Cup. And the ultimate trump card here with the Lightning is Andrei Vasilevskiy, who is the best goaltender in the league. He's on a track to be a top 10 goaltender all time in the NHL. He just is. Mm-hmm. He's 26 years old.
Easily.
So I do like the value there. Four other odds that I have an eye on with the Cup in 2022. Penguins 23-1.
Okay.
They find themselves a goalie this offseason. They might find themselves in the mix again. The Rangers 25-1. Gerard Gallant in New York. His first year in Vegas, he took Vegas to the Stanley Cup final when they were an expansion team. A lot of young talent on the Rangers.
In the market for some names too.
Dallas 35-1. Feel like that's good value for a team that was banged up all last year. Mm-hmm. And then don't hate me, Chicago 65-1.
Oh, I can hear the boos from outside the station.
65-1, though. They're getting Taves back. They're in the mix for either Jack Eichel or Seth Jones. They have a good young goaltender in Kevin Lankinen. At least we think so. Mm-hmm. After this season. So a lot of other good young talent. 65-1 to me felt a little high for Chicago.
It feels very high.
So that's all that I'm looking at on the futures.
I like the 65-1. I also throw one in there as well. The Vancouver Canucks have lower odds than the Preds and the Seattle Kraken to win it all. I think give them a full year. They have an insanely talented young roster. Give them a full year, and you never know what happens. I think they're going to make the playoffs at least, and that's, as we've learned in the NHL, sometimes that's all you need. Just ask the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's get to our locks of the week. I'm 5-5 in my locks. Not happy about it. Really not happy about the Toronto bullpen blowing it against the Orioles 2 weeks ago. Mm. Had Blue Jays -1.5, and the Blue Jays bullpen decided to give that away. So,
yuck.
I'm not going with a baseball game tonight. I like picks tonight. I don't love anything tonight. Give me Chris Paul NBA Finals MVP as my lock of the week.
Yep.
At minus 143 on TwinSpires. Mm-hmm. That is my lock, because I feel really good about the Suns winning the NBA title. And Chris Paul, You can just tell, especially late in that Clipper series, that he can just taste it. He is elevating his game. He's elevating the offense of the Suns to a new level here in these last couple of weeks, ever since he got back from COVID protocol. He's averaging 27.5 points, 8.5 assists in the first two games against Milwaukee. And when there's a narrative here lately of a veteran player trying to win his first title and they perform well in the finals, they end up winning finals MVP. Look in the last decade. Dirk with the Mavs in 2011, finals MVP. Easily. LeBron in Miami, finals MVP. KD in Golden State, finals MVP. Unless Devin Booker has a magical game where he scores like 50.
Yeah, and does something crazy.
And Booker should absolutely be in this conversation because he's been playing awesome. But I think Chris Paul wins the NBA Finals MVP, minus 143. That's my lock of the week.
I like that. Yep, it's such a, it's a narrative-based award. I mean, Andre Iguodala got in at Finals MVP for quote-unquote locking down LeBron, and LeBron still almost averaged triple-double and averaged like 33 points a game in that series. So how much locking down did he really do? It's all about optics, and Chris Paul is the story of the finals. If they win, he's going to get the Finals MVP. NBA writers are suckers for that, so yep. I like that. My lock of the week, Novak Djokovic will win Wimbledon. Lock it up. I think that one's going to be the easiest one. That whole field in Wimbledon has cannibalized itself. And Djokovic won today in the semifinals in straight sets. He's got Matteo Berrettini, I don't know what the odds are for straight sets, but I think I'm going to make it a little more difficult. He's going to win. He's going to win in straight sets.
All right. So you probably saw my face when you said this. He's -480.
-480.
He's as much of a favorite to win Wimbledon on Sunday as the Phoenix Suns are to win the NBA Finals.
Yep. But if there's an option for straight sets, take it. And then I'll also take another one because I'm two games below 500 here, two bets below 500 in locks. I need to catch myself up and give me the Bucks to lock up Game 3. Take it home. Money line.
Ooh.
Bucks to win Game 3. Djokovic wins straight sets. There you go. That should put me at 4-4. After all of this.
On the TwinSpire Sportsbook, Novak Djokovic, plus 133 to go straight sets.
He will go straight sets. This man is feeling it.
I might look at that. All right. We are out of time for the Money Line powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. Elijah, always fun.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Thank you as always. For Elijah Campbell, I'm Ryan Porth. It'll be me and Chase once again next week here on the Money Line. Every Friday, talking sports betting in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll be back with you next Friday right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.